Okay, so tonight we are going back to Pirkei Avos, which we did a little bit before Pesach, and we will be picking up with Perek Bey's Mishnah Chaf, that's chapter 2, paragraph 20. If you have a Hebrew English Art Scroll, it's at the top of page 556 or 557. So the Mishnah introduces us to Rabbi Tarfon. We'll talk about who he was in just a moment. But Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayom Kotzar, you should know that the day is short. V'amalacha meruba, the task is abundant. Hapoalim atzelim, the laborers are lazy. V'asachar harbe, the wage is great. U'balabayis, and the one in charge, the boss, is dochek, is pushing and is insistent that the job be completed. Rabbi Tarfon uses a very colorful mashal, very colorful imagery, to compare us in this world to workers who are working for a boss. The boss is the Ribono Shel Olam. The job that we have is to try to excel in the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs. And he says it's a formidable task, and we really have to work ourselves very hard. Hayom Kotzar, the day is short, meaning life is short, there's not enough time to do everything that we need to do. Hamalacha Meruba, there's so much that we have to do in terms of Torah study in particular, and the performance of mitzvahs. Hapoalim Atzelim, the way that Tiferes Yisrael explains this, is that the bodily powers that we have are naturally lazy. Another way to understand is that we, the human beings ourselves, we are lazy. You know, it's a lot easier to sleep in than to wake up early and to start learning. A lot easier to waste our time rather than learning. A lot easier to be engaged in self-indulgence rather than in the performance of mitzvahs. But, yeah, that's the story. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. It's not a lot of time. Our natural inclination is to shrug it off. Haschar harbe, you should know, there is an incentive. The reward, if we do our job properly, is very great. Ubalabai is dochek, and the Ribono Shel Olam is not letting up. The Ribono Shel Olam's attitude is not, look, see, do whatever you can. The Ribono Shel Olam is a tough taskmaster. He's pushing us as hard as we possibly can in order to accomplish this task. One might say that the theme of this statement of Rabbi Tarfon is tough love. The Ribono Shel Olam loves us. He wants us to, but he wants us to work hard. You know, the Ribono Shel Olam is not letting us off easy in terms of what we have to do in this world. Who is Rabbi Tarfon, and how does he come to be introduced at this particular juncture in Pirkei Avos? So, to appreciate why, first of all, a little bit about Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon himself was a Kohen. He was one of the great Tanoim, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He lived before the Churban HaBayis, before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, but he lived during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash and was part of that group of Talmidei Chachamim who rebuilt Jewish life in Yavne and in other places after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Interestingly enough, he seems to have been something of a Talmud of Beis Shammai as well. The Mishnah at the very beginning of Brachos famously describes how he read Kriyas Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai. But certainly one of his Rebbeim is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's described earlier in the Perek. So how Rabbi Tarfon comes to be in this series of Mishnayos requires some explanation. Up until this point in Pirkei Avos, there's been a very clear delineation of Rebbe to Talmud, and the delineation of the Mesorah, and the chain of transmission, passing on the Mesorah from one generation to the next. The first parak of Pirkei Avos traces in great detail how each Tana passed on the tradition to the next generation. This one was the Rebbe of this one was the Rebbe of that one. When we got to Perek Beis, we were introduced about halfway through the Perek to the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Mishnayos then described how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim, had five great students. It went on to tell us a little bit about each one. It discussed their relative merits. And then it shared with us three statements that each of these five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. So all of that fit a very neat and very discernible pattern in terms of how the Perek was laid out. And then, almost like a wild card, at the very end of the Perek, we're introduced to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon is not delineated as one of those five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, even though, as we said a moment ago, in actuality he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he's not referred to as one in the Mishnayos. And his introduction into the Mishnayos is sort of out of the blue. It happens to be as a contemporary of the other Tanoim who were mentioned just a few Mishnayos before, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yossi, HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Asano, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he was a contemporary of them all. But his introduction really comes out of left field. Why is he being introduced to us at this point in the Mishnayos? It really sort of breaks the continuity of the description of the Mishnayos as, you know, delineating the Masorah from Rebbe to Talmud. So we have to understand why Rebbe Tarfon is introduced over here. We also have to try to understand why Rebbe Tarfon is not mentioned among the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when in point of fact he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When we learned that Mishnah, we pointed out that it's a little bit odd that the Mishnah says altogether that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. He had many, many Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was in many ways the Rebbe of the entire generation. So what is it about these five Talmidim that causes them to be mentioned specifically? And here we have a perfect example of someone who was a great Tana, a great individual, who nonetheless was not counted among those five great Talmidim. So let's start with that question first. You know, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan isn't mentioned here as one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when in point of fact he was? So back when we had learned the earlier Mishnah that describes how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim, and we asked the question, why say that he had five Talmidim? He had many Talmidim. We offered the following explanation. Perhaps what the Mishnah is saying is, yes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had many Talmidim, but there were five Talmidim whose qualities Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought were essential for building the new world that would have to emerge after the Churban HaBayis, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really was a bridge between two worlds. He had lived prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He had single-handedly arranged for Torah to survive the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara famously tells how his two Talmidim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, smuggled Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in a coffin out of the city of Yerushalayim when it was under siege. They brought him to the tent of Aspasianus of Vespasian, who at the time was the Roman general leading the siege on Yerushalayim. And he predicted accurately that Aspasianus would become the emperor of Rome. The prophecy was fulfilled on the spot, and Aspasianus, Vespasian, turned to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and said, "What can I do for you? You made this prediction that I was going to become the emperor of Rome." And chief among the three things that Rabbi Yochanan asked from Aspasianus was, "Tein li yavna v'chachomeha. I know you're not going to spare the city of Yerushalayim. I know you're not going to spare the Beis HaMikdash, but spare the Sanhedrin, allow the Sanhedrin to move to Yavna, and allow Jewish life and rabbinic life to continue, even after the Churban HaBayis." And after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made various enactments to try to help us remember the Beis HaMikdash, but to try also to enable us to bridge that incredible gap into a world without a Beis HaMikdash to enable us to function properly. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt that the five Talmidim who are enumerated earlier in the Perek have five unique character traits that would enable them to help build that new world. That didn't negate all of the other Talmidim that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had. He had many. But there was something about these five Talmidim in particular and their character traits which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, these character traits are essential for us to rebuild after the Churban Abayis. That's why atypically we find that these five Tanoim are described in conjunction with their character traits. Again, typically the Mishnayos don't talk about, you know, that this Tano excelled in this and this Tano excelled in that. We do it with those five Talmidim so as to show that they had character traits which would enable them to rebuild this new world after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, Reb Tarfon, for all of his greatness, apparently didn't have, in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's view, a specific, particular trait which would enable him to be at the forefront of rebuilding this new world. Again, it's not to take away from Reb Tarfon's greatness in any way, but the other five Talmidim had very specific, they very much epitomized certain ideas and certain character traits which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought was really essential for this new world which was going to be created after the Churban Abayis. Okay, so we did a good job, I think we did a good job explaining why Reb Tarfon is not numbered among those five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But then that brings us to the next question. So, as someone who in actuality was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and someone who was a contemporary of all of those Tanoim who were mentioned before, why is he mentioned here at all? His introduction to the end of the Perek really seems out of place. It would have been great to have just mentioned the five Talmidim, told us each of the three things that each of them said, and then concluded the Perek. What's Reb Tarfon's statement doing here? So I think to understand why Reb Tarfon is here, we have to read the next Mishnah, which is also a statement of Reb Tarfon. And I think Mishnayos Chaf and Chaf Aleph are meant to be read in conjunction with one another. So who are your Omer? Let's take a look at that. So Mishnah Chaf Aleph 21, who are your Omer? The same Reb Tarfon used to say as follows. Lo alecho hamalacha ligmar. You are not required to complete all of the work. V'lo ato ben charin lehibatel mimena. But at the same time, you're not free to shrug it off and abandon it entirely. This is the same halacha, the same work that was referred to back in Mishnah Chaf. Hamalacha meruba. There's a lot of work which we have to do in this world. There's a lot of Torah we have to learn, there's a lot of mitzvahs we have to perform. It's a lot to do. So comes Reb Tarfon and says, you should know, you're not obligated to finish the work. You have to learn. But if a person says, how on earth am I going to learn? There's so much to learn. It's impossible to learn everything. So don't worry. Your obligation is to do as much as you can. If you're not going to finish everything, and there's almost no human being alive who can finish everything, it's okay. You have to do the best that you possibly can. At the same time, lo ato ben charen lehibatel mimena, you're not free to say, okay, if I don't have to finish it, so I won't even start it, I won't even try. You have to try your best, you have to work at it, but at the same time, it's not for you, you know, if you don't finish it, you shouldn't give up either. The statement of Reb Tarfon calls to mind the beautiful statement made by Rav Yisachar Friend Shlita at the Siyum HaShas, not this past time, but the time before that, a very, very memorable phrase which he coined at that particular point in time. Rabbi Friend, when he spoke at the Siyum HaShas, coined the phrase in terms of Torah study, it's never too late, it's never too little, but it's never enough. It's never too late. A person, you know, should never say, I shouldn't learn because I haven't learned up till now. It's never too little. A person shouldn't say, how am I going to accomplish? I know I'm not going to accomplish that much, so why should I even bother? It's never too little is essentially a paraphrase of Reb Tarfon's statement, lo alecha amlacha ligmar. But at the same time, it's never enough. A person can never say, you know what, I finished all the Torah learning I have to do, you know, I'm done. So it's never enough is a paraphrase of the statement, v'lo ato ben charen lebatel mimena. You know, Reb Tarfon's statement and Rabbi Friend's statement, you know, are really in very many ways, you know, the same statement expressed in different ways. Reb Tarfon continues, Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you have learned much Torah, nosnin lachos sechar harbe, they will give you much reward. You'll get a lot of reward for the Torah that you learn. What's nosnin lachos sechar harbe? They will give you much reward. Who's the they? I would think that the one who is going to give you the reward is the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you learn a lot of Torah, Hashem will give you a lot of reward. But then the verb shouldn't be in the plural. No snim lechos schar harbe. It should be im lamadta Torah harbe, hu yiten lechos schar harbe. Hashem yiten lechos schar harbe. Hashem is going to give you a lot of reward. It would seem that what Reb Tarfon is referring to is not the reward that you're going to get in Olam Haba, the reward that you're going to get from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Reb Tarfon is saying, even in this world, if you learn a lot of Torah, people will give you a lot of reward. Perhaps they're not going to give you points in Olam Haba, but people will respect you. People will defer to you. People will give you honor, and they will treat you in a certain way. That's no snin. People around you will give you a certain degree of reward in this world for the Torah that you learned. Beyond that, v'neman hu ba'al melachtecha sheyishalem lecha schar pu'losecha. Beyond all of the reward that people will give you, your ba'al melacha, your boss, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is reliable that he will pay you that which you deserve for the Torah that you learned. So this is a second level of reward. You're going to get reward from other people. The Ribbono Shel Olam will reward you for the Torah that you learn. And finally, v'dash shematim scharin shol tzadikim lasig lavo. Finally, you should know that the real reward which tzadikim are going to get for the Torah and the mitzvahs and the ma'isim tovim that they learn and they perform, ultimately, that's really in the future. That's really in olam haba. That's above and beyond whatever you're going to get in this world. This is just gravy that you're going to get in this world. The real reward is going to be la'olam haba. It's really going to be in the world to come. Now, this statement of Reb Tarfon, I think, has to be read in conjunction with the previous statement of Reb Tarfon. Because in a sense, they're almost opposite statements in terms of their tone, but at the same time, they're complementary. The theme of the first statement of Rebbe Tarfon in Mishnah Chof is very demanding. There's a lot to do. There's not a lot of time. You'd better work hard. It's a very disciplinary approach to the task that we have in this world. There's a lot to do, not a lot of time. Work your utmost in order to accomplish it. The tone of Chaf Aleph is radically different. The tone of Mishnah Chaf Aleph is encouraging, it's positive, it's kindly. You know, even though you have a lot to do and you can't ignore it, you can't shirk your responsibilities, you know, if you don't finish it all, it's okay. Lo alechem locha ligmar. And you know, if you're going to learn a lot, you'll get a lot of reward. You'll get reward from people, you'll get reward from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And even if you don't see so much reward in this world, you know, there's reward in Olam Haba. You know, the whole tone is a much more encouraging, comforting tone, which Reb Tarfon is putting forward. In a sense, one might argue that whereas in Mishnah Chof, Reb Tarfon is trying to encourage Torah study and mitzvah performance with the stick, in Chof Aleph, Reb Tarfon is trying to encourage Torah study and mitzvah performance with the carrot. The first Mishnah is all about how you have responsibilities, you got to work. The second Mishnah is all about how, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will understand if you try your best, and there's a lot of reward waiting for you. It's a much more encouraging, comforting kind of tone than what he takes in Mishnah Aleph, in Mishnah Chof. So which one is right? The stick approach or the carrot approach? And of course, intuitively, we all know that both approaches are correct. At different times in our lives, we need to hear different messages. Sometimes we need to hear the tough disciplinarian, Reb Tarfon and Mishnah Chof, And sometimes we need to hear the loving, forgiving tone of Mishnah Chaf Aleph. Don't worry, you can do it, you'll get a lot of reward. Whatever you do is wonderful. Don't worry if you can't finish it all. Not only do people in their own lives need to hear different messages depending on what their personal state of affairs is, but I think one can argue that a community sometimes needs to hear different messages depending on what the matzav, depending on what the situation is. When things are good, and the challenge that we have is that we might become lethargic, and that we might slack off, and we might find ourselves giving in to the luxuries of life, and not paying enough attention to the hard work that life demands from us. So Mishnah Chaf is an appropriate Mishnah to share with us. Ayam Katsar V'Amalacha Meruba. But when times are difficult, and we're struggling generally, and we're not sure if we can even eke by our daily existence, much less commit ourselves to Torah and Mitzvot in the fullest sense of the term, the message of Chaf Aleph is a much more appropriate message. Lo Alechem Lacha Ligmar. Don't worry, try your best, there's a lot of reward, let's be encouraging. Let's not focus on how much you have to do. Let's focus on how much you can accomplish even with a little bit of effort and how much reward is waiting for you. I think one might suggest that historically, Mishnayos Chaf and Chaf Aleph were uttered by Rabbi Tarfon at different times in Jewish history. As we mentioned before, Rabbi Tarfon began his career when the Beis HaMikdash stood, and he ended his career after the Churban, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I'd like to suggest that Mishnah Chaf is a message that Reb Tarfon shared with Klal Yisrael prior to the Churban HaMikdash. You got to work hard. There's so much to do. You know, you can't allow yourself to fall into a lethargic state of being. And Mishnah Chaf Aleph, after the Jewish people had seen the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of Yerushalayim, and was really down in the dumps, Mishnah Chaf Aleph were the encouraging words that Reb Tarfon spoke to the people after the Churban HaBayis. Lo alechem lacha ligmar. Dasha matim tzaren shod tzadikim lasid lavo. Don't worry, you'll try your best. It's not so hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward you for anything that you do. It's all good, Reb Tarfon tells the people. Prior to the Churban, the message they need to hear is Mishnah Chaf. After the Churban, the message they need to hear is Mishnah Chaf Aleph. I think if we make that assumption that the Mishnah is Davka sharing with us Rabbi Tarfon's pre-Churban message juxtaposed with his post-Churban message, we can understand why the Mishnayos put Rabbi Tarfon at the end of Perek Beis. It's true that Rabbi Tarfon isn't mentioned as one of the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's true that, unlike the other five Talmidim, he may not have a specific character trait which he brings to the table, which is going to help the Jewish people in a post-Churban environment. But the very shift in Rabbi Tarfon's message, the shift from Mishnah Chaf to Mishnah Chaf Aleph, is an important shift in helping Klal Yisrael navigate the post-Churban world. Rabbi Tarfon, in his own way, is teaching Klal Yisrael how to adjust to a time of difficulty. The message that was appropriate for prior to the Churban is not the most appropriate message for after the Churban. Again, to some extent, both Mishnah Chaf and Mishnah Chaf Aleph are always relevant, you know, under any circumstances, but it's a question of emphasis. The emphasis prior to the Churban was on the message in Mishnah Chaf. The emphasis after the Churban was on the message in Mishnah Chaf Aleph. So the Perek ends off giving us yet another approach of another great Tana as to how to deal with the tragedy of the Churban HaBayis. Be comforting. Don't push the people so much. Focus on the positive. Focus on what they can accomplish. Don't act like a disciplinarian. You're going to drive them over the edge altogether. that kinder, gentler approach of Mishnah Chaf Aleph is what the people needed to hear after the Churban. And in that sense, thematically, it fits in, the statements of Rabbi Tarfon fit in with the approach outlined by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai of trying to find the ways to bridge the gap between the period prior to the Churban and the period after the Churban. I think what's, again, not to belabor the point, but we certainly find ourselves now in a very, very unique and difficult situation with everything that's going on around us. You know, the kind of mussar I think that we need to hear now as individuals and as a community is the positive feel-good mussar, if you will. You know, mussar which, as opposed to telling us how much we have to push ourselves and discipline ourselves and the like, you know, but divrei mussar, divrei hisarurus, that encourage us, that are much more positive in their focus, you know, the carrot rather than the stick, are particularly appropriate, I think, given, you know, the very, very difficult situation which we find ourselves at the present time. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled us to get through the Churban HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach as a community to be able to get through these difficult times as well. I want to take a few moments now to say Tehillim and the Mishnah Berach, and we'll do that at this time. Again, as we do every night, Kapitel Tzadi Aleph 91. Yoshe b'seser al yon b'tzel shaddai yislonon Omar ladonai machsiyum sudasi Elohai eftach bo Ki hu yapsi lecho mipach yokush Midever havos Be'evroso yosech loch v'sachas kinofov techse Sino v'sochiro amito Lo siro mi pachad loy lo me chetz yof yomam mi dever baofel yahaloch mi ketev yashud zahorayim yipol mitzidcho elefur vavam yiminecho ilecho lo yigosh rak beinecho sabir vishilmas vishoyim tire ki ato adonai machsi el yon sam to mi onecho Lo sunay lecho rov nega lo yikrav yo lecho Ki malachov yitzav eloch lishmarcho b'chol drochecho Al kapayim yeso unecho Pentigof b'oven raglecho Al shachal v'ofes en tidroch Tirmos kefir v'sanin Ki v'choshak v'yafalateyu Asagveyu ki yodashimi Yiko eini veneyu imo anochi vitzara achaletzeyu viachabedeyu orech yomi masbiyeyu viareyu bishuasi Kuf Mem Beis 142 Maskil David Biosov Amora Sefilo Kolel Adonai Ezok Kol yel Adonai eschanon Eshpoch lefonov sichi Tzorosi lefonov agid Bisateif olai ruchi V'yato yodat onesiv osi Borach zu aleich Tom enufach li Habei yomin urei V'ein li makir Ovad monos mimeni ein doresh lenafshi Zoakti eilecho Adonai Omarti ato machsi Chelki b'yeretz hachayim Hakshivo el rinosi ki dalosi miyor Hatsileni mirodefai ki ometsu mimeni Hotsiya mimasker nafshi lo dosa shemecha Biachtiru tzadikim ki sigmol aloi Yishabirach avusenu Avraham Yitzchok v'Yaakov Moshe v'Yaron Dov v'Shlomo yivarch v'Rav v'Yisacholim Bavu shabline donot vilastoka bavu ram bischar sa kodesh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem lachlimol lapusom lachasikom leachayosom Yishlach lehem eirof uash lemam nashomayim l'cholei v'ariyem l'chol gidayem v'sal shor cholei Yisrael refuas ha-nefesh refuas ha-guf hashtar ba'agalov izman koriv nomar amen. Bez Hashem, I plan on davening Ma'ariv 8:32. I want to wish everyone a good evening, and we'll have yet another Shiur on Pirkei Avos tomorrow night.